If you have God's Word with you, I would like you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew in chapter 21 is where we find ourselves in our regular morning worship. And we are in the midst of where the Lord is in His final week upon this earth, which we call the week of Passion. And we are now in the midst of where Christ is going to encounter for the first time the Sanhedrin. And it is pretty much what most commentators say, that the ones that come to confront Christ for what he is doing, or he has been doing over the last couple of days as he entered Jerusalem. And I want to pick up our reading at verse 23 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 23, and it says there, "Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?' But Jesus answered and said to them, 'I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet.' So they answered Jesus and said, 'We do not know.' And he said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of these two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, Assuredly I say to you, that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him.'" Let us bow in prayer. Our Father, as we come into your presence, we ask and we plead for mercy upon us, that we might know your mind and your will, and what is the lessons that we need to learn from your word that we have read even this hour. We thank you for your Son and for all that he has done. And now as we look upon his life and see one of these events which would ultimately bring his life to an end and his giving of himself as our sacrifice, we pray that we would learn from him and that we might have wisdom from above to be able to do that which your Son had to endure as well. And we ask that you would bless us and you would keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to also read the same event, which has been my habit for almost 2 years now. This encounter that our Lord has with the elders and the chief priests, and the Gospel of Luke will add a little bit more, not only the scribes will also be added into this list. And I'm going to start with Mark 11, and I'm going to read verses 27 through 33. Then they came again to Jerusalem, that is, Christ and his disciples. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him. And they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do all these things?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I will also ask you one question. Then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men," they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So they answered and said to him, "We do not know." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Then in Luke chapter 20, verses 1 through 8, we read of this event again. "Now it happened on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him and spoke to him, saying, 'Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority?' But he answered and said to them, 'I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men?' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet.' So they answered that they did not know where it was from. And Jesus said to them, 'Neither will I, by what authority I do these things.'" We have this event before us in the life of our Lord, and it happens 3 days on the third day of his Passion Week. It is the third day of the week before he would face his Father again. And we are here in this portion of God's Word where Christ is now being challenged by the things that he has been doing on the previous days before. And we read in those 2 days' events before, our Lord is showing to the rulers, to the elders and the scribes, and to the people in general who he is. Up to this time, Christ did not want the people to know that he was the King of the Jews. But in Matthew's Gospel, in the beginning of chapter 21, we read that he comes riding into Jerusalem on a colt, and there the people see his majesty, and they put palm trees and their clothing in front of him. And he is fulfilling this prophecy, which we have just read upon, and in Zechariah 9:9, that the King of the Jews would come riding into Jerusalem on a colt. And so we see this is the beginning of the things that these rulers, the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes would encounter the Lord and say, By what authority are you doing this? And then we would see that he goes into the temple as well, and he cleanses the temple. And they want to know, by what authority are you doing this? Why are you allowing this to happen? And the people are also exalting Christ and giving glory by saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And this was a passage of scripture that we looked at last time, and we saw that the King of Glory, the Son of God, would be the only one that should have these things done to him. And so the rulers of Israel are now challenging and confronting the Lord about it. Where did you get this authority to do these things? But I also think that he was being challenged because he was teaching the people, for that's what we are told in the Gospel of Matthew. And in Mark says he was just walking through the temple, but Luke says he was not only teaching the people, but he was also preaching to the people. And so we see, first, I would like us to see the activities of our Lord that leads up to this confrontation. And this encounter is not something that we should think lightly of. This would be the aggravating point and time when he would go into their presence, condemned already, before he would even speak a word of why they were bringing him before him, before them, and condemning him to death. They had, at this point, they had already decided what they would do with our Lord. And we need to see here their reasoning and their rationalization would cause them much unbelief. So we want to look at his activities. What was he doing? He is doing what we do every Lord's Day. Singing in the temple he was, teaching the people, and preaching the gospel. Most people want to hear comedies, skits, singing, but do they want to hear preaching and teaching? We need to see here the activities of the church, and that we do not fall away from following after those activities which God desires. Our Lord's activities was not having rock concerts or choirs or special events, but it was preaching, teaching, the ordinary things that most people in our day despise. And I think this is part of the accusation against Christ, was that he was preaching and teaching the things that the people needed to hear. And today it is despised as well. Unfortunately, the things that Christ did are not readily wanted in this day. But we need to see here, Christ was showing to the people and to the elders and the priests and to the nation as a whole who he was. And that's what they were asking him. By what authority are you doing these things? Why did you come riding into Jerusalem on a colt? Who gave you this authority? Why did you cleanse the temple? And you talk of it as being your house. And that's exactly what we are told in Matthew. And it says there, and he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. So we need to see that they say, who is this man? Where did he get this authority? Why is he doing these things? But they should have known already. But they didn't want to see it. They didn't want to comprehend it. And why did they not want to comprehend that? Because they knew that they would lose all prestige and authority themselves. The people were giving to Christ the things that they themselves desired. They wanted the praise of the people. They wanted the honor and the glory that should have been given to Christ. And this is what they are objecting to. And so they question Christ's authority. We all have some form of authority, believe it or not. James has got a new authority given to him by God. He's got a wife. Now he's got a daughter. So he has authority from God. Sam is a young man I know. And Seth just got authority. How did they get authority? From the state of, one from the state of Kentucky, another one from the state of Indiana. They got the authority to, and the permission to drive. So all of us has some form of authority. And here Christ's authority is being challenged and questioned. And what was his authority? By what authority did he cleanse the temple? By what authority did he come into Jerusalem declaring that he is the king? Not the, only the king of the Jews, but the king eternal, the Son of God, the Lord of lords, King of kings. This is the one that comes riding into Jerusalem. And they're saying, by what authority are you doing these things? It was their rightful duty to do it. When we have in the near future a pastor or an elder, and somebody comes in and they want to know by what authority are you preaching and teaching the word of God, he can say, God has given me that authority. Here Christ is confronted by these men, these chief priests, the scribes and the elders, who make up the Sanhedrin. And you will see that their response at the verse 46. I could have read this whole chapter and dealt with the whole thing, but it was too long. But what is Christ is still dealing with these men right up to verse 46. Where I left off at verse 32 is not the end of the situation or the encounter. In verse 46, we see what happens. And it says in verse 45 and 46 this, now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. They had already determined what they wanted to do. They wanted to take him and put him to death. He was a threat to their authority and their rule over the people. And because of that, they questioned his authority. And so we see here, Jesus does not give a direct answer to their question. But he gives a counter question. And he says to them, he says in verse 24, I also will ask you one thing. If you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? And we need to see here, this is a question which is loaded to show to them their unbelief and their unwilling to turn to God. and to have true dealings with who he is. And we need to see this because all of us need to have an answer. Who is Jesus Christ? By what authority could he say to you, your sins are forgiven? Who can forgive sin? God alone can forgive sin. Therefore, he has all authority, and they should have known that. But they refused to give him a direct answer. So he asked this question. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it from men? Why is this question important? What was the purpose of John's ministry? To tell of the coming of the Messiah, the King of Glory. That's what John's ministry was. And whatever John said, it was always to glorify the Messiah, the King of Glory. They should have known that the one that was standing before them was the Messiah that God said he would send in his name. But they completely desired to not to believe it. Here we see the wisdom of Christ in dealing with his enemies. And there's a lesson here that we should learn as well. Should we try to defeat our enemies by our own reasoning, by our own thoughts? The answer is no. What did the Lord use? He used the Word of God. In particular, a particular person that God sent to defeat his enemies. We should learn to arm ourselves with the Word of God when we deal with our enemies. Do not answer your enemy according to their own folly. J.C. Ryle said this, "We must beware of supposing that this question which our Lord was put permeates to one which had been put to himself, or also all an evasion of a disagreeable inquiry by a counter-inquiry. Our Lord's question was in reality an answer to the question of his inquirers." In other words, they should have known what John's ministry was. They knew what it was. They hadn't even inquired of John, "Are you the one that is to come? Are you that appointed prophet that was to come?" They inquired of him. They should have known. He was indirectly giving them the answer. The authority that he had was being revealed in the person of John. So if they were honest, they already knew the answer. The authority that he had was because he was the Messiah, the King of Glory. Our Lord's question was in reality an answer to the question of his inquirers, we are told by Uriah. They asked him by what authority he did what he did. In reply, he asked them whether John the Baptist was a prophet sent from God. His meaning evidently was that John the Baptist has expressly testified that he was the Messiah. They knew this. They could not deny it. Now, if they really believed that John the Baptist was a prophet, they would see at once by what authority he did what he did. He did all as the Messiah whom John had proclaimed him to be. So when John was preaching, he was always proclaiming who Jesus Christ was. They should not have this question. They should have already been able to answer it. For John had already said, "This one who comes after me is the Messiah." But we see here, we see before us here, that these men were full of unbelief. And how is this unbelief portrayed or shown to us? And we need to see here a very important thing. Unbelief is often by reasoning and rationalizing. In Matthew 16, we already spoke about reasoning and rationalizing. It is the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And most people that deny the Lord is because they reason and they rationalize. Why should I believe him? Why should I believe the words that you're saying to me? And they'll reason and they'll try to rationalize away what you're saying. And it's exactly what the Pharisees do here. This is what the Sanhedrin does here. For the three offices that were in the Sanhedrin, elders, chief priests, and the scribes, what did they do? They reasoned, they rationalized. If we say to him from heaven, he will say to us, Christ will say to us, "Why didn't you believe him?" If we say from men, then why? Why did they not believe? Because they feared the people. They would reason and think out these thoughts and what would happen, and they would come up with the answer. You see what reasoning can do to you? In Proverbs 3, we are told this. It's a verse that I think you all should know. And you probably should have it memorized. "Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." What do we first should not do? Lean not to your own understanding when coming to think of the things of God and believing in the message of God. These men show us what unbelief, the means by which we project our unbelief. These men were plain, outright, unbelieving, unholy men that confronted the King of Glory with this question: "Who are you to be teaching and preaching? Who are you to come into this city, this great city, riding on a colt? Who are you to cleanse the temple? Who are you to forgive sin?" Unbelievers challenged the authority of Christ. Jesus said to them, "Believe on me." And what was their response? "I will not have this man rule over me." Are you sitting there, "I will not have this man rule over me"? Are you one who reasons and says, well, I'm not that bad of a sinner. I'll make it all right. That's what unbelievers do. If you question Christ's authority over you, what is it? Unbelief. Well, I'm intelligent enough. I'm good enough. I'll make it somehow. These men thought they were wise in their own eyes too. But they were full of unbelief. J.C. Ryle said this, what dishonesty and equivocation unbelievers may be led into by prejudice against the truth. Well, I'm all right. I'm not so bad. When God says, you fall short of the glory of God. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Are you? Or are you walking in your own path and in your own way? These men were great politicians, weren't they? Well, if we say this, if we say it's from heaven, he's going to say, why didn't you believe John then and repent and believe? Why aren't you entering into the kingdom of heaven? If John was truly from heaven and had the authority of God, why didn't you repent and believe? Why, on the other hand, they asked this question. They said, well, if we say from heaven, then he's going to say that. But if we say from men, his authority came from men. They were afraid of men. What does it tell us? What does it tell us? The unbelieving, the unconverted, are dishonest to others and to themselves. If you say, I'm not a sinner, what are you saying? God, you're a liar. And you're dishonest to yourself. These men were dishonest to themselves, to their own conscience, and they were dishonest to the people. They did not want to lose their own prestige and their own authority before the people. These men were of the worst of the worst and allowing and trying to cause men to enter into that which cannot lead to life. Even in our own day, we have men who try to say that they are the preachers of the gospel. And you ask yourself, where are they leading the people? A lot of pastors in America are leading people into sin. Promoting the gay lifestyle today. A lot of preachers promote it. What does it tell you about their heart? That it is full of sin and unbelief. Ryle said they dared not confess that he was from heaven, because they saw our Lord would say, "Why did you not believe him? He testified plainly of me. What they did was a direct lie." It tells us something about who we should follow, doesn't it? If you know a man, a preacher, who stands in the pulpit and tells you counter to what God's word says to do, what does it tell you about him? Is it a man that you should follow and believe? We as God's people cannot be passive. We have to also know that the mind of the Lord is clearly revealed. And we cannot follow after men who will lie to us, promote things which are not of God. If we do, we join in their unbelief and in their lie. We do not follow blindly. We follow the word of the living God. And what does our Lord do in this situation? They would not give Jesus the answer. They would not give him a direct answer. We do not know. They knew that was not the truth. They knew, but would not be honest. And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." So what is this leading us up to? This is leading us up to the point of where these men would put to death the Lord of glory. And God at this point would make a new nation. The old Israel would be done away with. The old form of worship would be done away with. 30 years and the temple would be destroyed. The worship that Israel had once done for thousands of years would come to a complete stop and halt. What was the question that the Samaritan woman asked about worship? Jesus said it would be neither in this place, it would be in Jerusalem that they would worship, but in all places they would worship God. And so God was introducing a whole new nation, a whole new system of worship. A holy nation, as Peter describes in 1 Peter chapter 2. A holy nation, a special people. It would not just be one nation upon the earth, but all the peoples of the earth. And we need to see here, he would rebuke these leaders, these rulers. And he would speak to them by parable. And there's three parables here. I'm only going to speak on one of them at this point. Then I will stop. The other two we'll deal with next week, if the Lord is willing. But we see here three in Matthew's gospel. In Luke and Mark, you see either one or two. So we see here the first rebuke. And that rebuke is a rebuke to all of us as we do not do the things that God says to do. And he reads, "What do you think? A man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go to work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not. I will not go.' But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. And this is a very good question for those who say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I don't want his will. Which of these two did the will of his father? Which son did the will of the father? They said to him, the first. The one who said, I'm not going to go, and then relented and went and did it. So the one who really is the son is the one that went. The other one said, I go, but I'm not going to go. In his heart, he already said, I am not going to go. He already had determined that his words would not face reality. And so the Lord says, they said to him the first, Jesus said to them, surely I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. Who is truly the Son of God or a child of God? It is the one who believes and does the will of the Father. This is my Son. Do whatsoever he says. Do you believe? Have you trusted in Christ? If you do not, then you know you're not his son. You say in your heart, what are you saying to me? God said to the nation of Israel, through John, this is the way of righteousness. The Messiah has come. Believe on him. Put your trust in him. He is the Lamb of God which takes the sin of the world away. Believe on him. And what did the Jewish leaders do? They rejected him. They rejected his message that this one is the way of righteousness. And they rejected his message. God's message to you is believe on my son. Do you believe? Do you believe? This says a lot to us. These men reasoned away every hope that they had. Reasoning and rationalizing, covering your own butt, as we say, by thinking we can get away with it. We won't get away with it. For the one who cleansed the temple and came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, you will one day stand before him. And his authority then is still the same in that day. He is the Son of God, the Lamb which was slain for sinners. And if you do not believe his message, he will say, depart from me. Is that what you want to hear? Believe the message. The message is, God gave his son that whosoever believes in him shall not be condemned, but shall have everlasting life. Do you believe it? Believe on the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Let us bow in prayer. Our Father, as we come to you, and as we gather together around the fellowship table just in a little while, may, in all our words, may you be honored and glorified. And Lord, we thank you for this instance in your life, so that we would not be like these men of old, that we would not harden our hearts towards the gospel of Christ, but we would believe the message that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Be pleased to be with us, bless us, and show us your face in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.